T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, I feel good first day out there. I got to build the confidence back up, and that'll come over time. But each rep, maybe getting a little more confidence and just kind of trying to figure it out. You know, it's the first day back, so I didn't expect it to be an amazing day. Just kind of work at it each and every day.
That's Bills defensive tackle Justin Zimmer, who's back. Remember his big play he made a couple years ago?
Yes, on Cam Newton. That was a close game. New England was driving, and he punched it out.
Do you remember who fell on the ball?
That I do not remember. Someone random, I'm guessing, because that's why you're bringing
kind
it
of,
up.
Kind of.
Ramon Humber.
Ha, I love it.
That was the most random name I could think of. Okay, he was gone.
Backup safety Dean Marlowe.
Oh, okay, yeah, that would have been that would have qualified. I think as a random name. He was here for a couple years though.
I like Dean Marlowe. He's a good guy, and he did his job backing up Jordan and Micah, and you know just couldn't get on the field. Gets a free agent deal from Detroit, and I think he was gone maybe a year or later after that. But I don't know if he's still in the league or not. But yeah, you know, he did. It's always tough when you're behind Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, but now we're seeing, you know, a guy like DeMar Hamlin who has to step up and play that role.
Yeah, Dean Marlowe. He's on the Atlanta Falcons.
There you go. All right. Good for Dean. I like to hear that.
At 30. He's 30 years old. I feel like he would have just entered the league a couple years ago. But no, okay. So
I know, right?
He was in Carolina before his time with the Bills. Okay, so that's why.
Yeah, one of those guys that they brought over when they had that pipeline going. Are they doing in New York? Are they going to? I'm telling you, Joe, for the next couple years, the Giants will be doing exactly what the Bills did when they started bringing people in from Carolina. Like Joe Shane and Brian Daboll will bring in lots of former Bills names, whether that's you know, practice squad guys, guys who were here for a year or two, guys who've been here for 4 or 5 years and become free agents.
Yeah.
Are Giants fans going to make the, I don't know, not even joke? Some people literally would say, what, do the Bills not scout any other team than Carolina?
Yeah.
Like, are Giants fans going to say that? It's easy to know why they do this thing, folks. The organization, the people in charge trust these people.
I guess how much of that are they actually doing, though, in New York right now? Like, they brought in...
It will happen, though, I mean.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, they have Matt Breida. They have Davis Webb, who might make his first career start this week if Daniel Jones can't play. And
David Sills,
right? Tyrod,
Antonio
I guess.
Antonio Williams.
Joe Shane would know Tyrod. I know Dable wouldn't.
Yeah. Antonio Williams, who they just released yesterday,
okay.
By the way.
So there are a couple. They've yet, right, you're I think, making the point of, though, like, big investments are going to come that way. Because the Bills that with Latulele, like, right away, right? Like, it was, hey, this guy we know from Carolina, and we're going to make him the highest paid player in the team.
Right. I'm actually not making the point of big investments. I don't know if that's going to happen. What I'm making the point of is you have to give it a couple of years. They can't get their hands on everybody right now. You got to wait for guys to actually become available.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is next year you'll see even more guys that were in Bills camps or on a Bills roster. And then a year after that, because it happened in Buffalo for like 3 years, they would get these guys from Carolina. That has slowed down because Carolina's changed over their roster so much that there's not that familiarity anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's right. Like, how many guys are left? How often is that happening now? Not as much. Not nearly as much.
Exactly. So it's going to happen. And you're going to see. What I'm saying is the Giants, over the next couple of years, you'll see them still picking up Bills players, right? Hey, even the guy, Nick McLeod, they picked him up off waivers, right, after the Bills released him. Those are the kinds of guys that they're going to go out and get.
How about the fact that the Carolina like connection tree, if I can make that a thing, the Bean McDermott branches are like the only ones that are really all that successful post Carolina, right? Like Dave Gettleman went to the Giants and that failed. Ron Rivera goes to Washington and for the most part that has failed. And honestly, what Carolina's done to replace all of these people has failed. But then there's McDermott and Bean, where it's like that's the most well built team in football.
It's a great point. It's a great point. I think it says a lot about the individuals, right? I mean, you can't you can't just magically replicate what you had. I think plenty of former – look, I love to kind of these days bang on Bill Belichick as much as anybody.
Yes.
We all know that.
Love it.
But you can't just replicate being Bill Belichick, right? You can't how many times have we seen coaches go somewhere else who try to be Bill Belichick and they can't? You can't do that. And then they wind up maybe back in New England like Matt Patricia or Joe Judge because they fail miserably. And Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel, and the list goes on and on of all of these people. I think Brian Flores actually did a good job in Miami, but he actually wound up, you know, getting fired because of the power struggle that went on there. But I think he actually maybe had a chance, maybe not to be Bill Belichick, but to be one of the better assistants that left Bill Belichick.
Sal, Belichick loses to the Lions this week, by the way. His record without Tom Brady will drop below Joe Philbin's record. Joe Philbin. I love that list. I'm compiling that list as time goes on.
Say this again. Can you say that again?
I will say that again. Bill Belichick's win, I'll say it this way. Bill Belichick's win percentage without Tom Brady, if he loses to the Lions on Sunday, will be lower than the career win percentage of former Dolphins head coach Joe Philbin.
Can you tweet that out?
I think I did a couple of days ago. Maybe I should again. Because I tweeted it like replying to somebody, so maybe not everybody saw it. I love it. You're the flag leader on that, but I am right behind you. I am right behind you, ready to support you at every turn on this.
Well, what was the record going into the season that I mentioned, because there was the tiebreaker with the Dolphins? Was it 71-79, I believe?
I had it written down somewhere.
Oh my gosh. I have to,
I think it's at 70, I think it's at 80-82 is what I thought I saw, but maybe that's wrong. No, that has to be wrong. Yeah, I don't know. He's under 500, though. I can tell you that. He's still under 500, given that he's 1-2 this year.
Okay, so here it is. Record without Brady was 71-80. This was as of, I tweeted this on September 13th.
And they're 1-3.
So that would have been after they lost. Yeah, so it was 71-79 coming into 71-79 plus what, 1-3?
Yes.
So 72.
Yep.
82.
Yep. It's amazing.
Okay, that's what it is. And hey, by the way, good job with Bailey Zappe last week. Like, they put him in the game, they moved the ball, they did some nice things. But welcome to being an average NFL team, where when you have to go to your backup quarterback, you might be able to get a little bit out of him, but you still lose the game. Sorry, that's the way it works in the league.
Yeah,
what happens with every team.
I bet Belichick though was licking his chops on that sideline, like as Zappe goes in, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna eat this up. I'm gonna come back and beat Aaron Rodgers on the road with Bailey Zappe. I'm glad also that didn't happen, because then we'd have to be sitting through a week of how Belichick's a genius because he just beat Aaron Rodgers on the road with Bailey Zappe. Thank goodness the Packers pulled that one out.
803-0550 if you want to jump on board. 888-552-550. Joe, you ready for sneaky starts and sits this week?
I am ready for some sneaky starts and sits. Evan, fire up the NFL music, and we'll start with the sits, because I want to give you as much time as possible to get this guy out of your lineup. Tonight is the Broncos and the Colts. That 90 seconds might be important. So we're going to start with the sits today, and we're going to start with Broncos running back Melvin Gordon, who was an intriguing start. Why? Because Javonte Williams, their star young running back, torn ACL, torn LCL. He has got a long road back. Could be 12 months, could be longer. J.K. Dobbins of the Ravens had a similar injury. He's just now getting back and onto the field. So Williams out for the season. Melvin Gordon, next man up, right? Probably. But two things here. One, Melvin Gordon's not that good. He's really never been that great. He's certainly not that good right now. He's averaging under 4 yards a carry. Last week, after Williams goes out, 12 carries for 26 yards. He's just not that fast. He's not that physical anymore, and here's the biggest problem with Melvin Gordon. He fumbles, and he fumbles more than anybody in the league right now. Melvin Gordon, Sal, in his last 44 rush attempts, has 5 fumbles. 5.
Wow.
He's the only running back, actually he's number one in the league in the last 5 years in fumble rate. So this isn't just, oh, it's the last couple of games, something's jinxing him. No, he's the worst running back when it comes to fumbles in football the last 5 seasons. And last week when he fumbled, he got benched. And who came in? Mike Boone. Who's Mike Boone, you might ask? Nobody really should have to worry about. But, interestingly, he's paid more than Melvin Gordon. That's probably more for special teams, but he's got a bigger contract. They liked him, bringing him over from Minnesota. We're one fumble away from Melvin Gordon, from him not seeing the field the rest of the night. If that happens on the first drive, then you're looking at a negative in your score for Thursday night. And the Colts' run defense is better than you might expect this season. They're top 10 in the league in fewest fantasy points allowed for rushing for running backs. One theme you'll notice through starts and sits today, now that we're 4 weeks into the season, we can start to pick up a little bit on matchup tendencies. It's really hard to do that in the first couple of weeks of the season because you don't know what teams are, and you still, for the most part, don't know what teams are, but you're starting to be able to figure that out. And tonight's matchup is not that easy for Gordon, the fumbling issue, plus he's just not that good anymore. I am sitting Melvin Gordon. I'm also sitting DJ Moore this week, and that is painful to say because I love DJ Moore. I think he's the most slept-on receiver in football.
I have him.
Mm-hmm. You have him? He's an elite receiver. He really is. He is dynamite. He's so good. I wish some team could swing in there and save him because he needs saving. That team, just all the quarterbacks he's had, the list of quarterbacks that have thrown to DJ Moore starting games, it's Baker Mayfield. It's Sam Darnold. It's Cam Newton when he returned. It's Kyle Allen. It's Teddy Bridgewater. It's Will Greer. The guy cannot get a stable quarterback that also is a quarterback that can get him the football. And that's happening again now with Baker Mayfield. He did have a good game last week. 11 targets, 6 catches, 60 yards. Not too shabby and a big target share. But I'm trying to be predictive with Moore, not reactionary. And this week, they're playing the San Francisco 49ers. And right now, that is the best defense in football. They are allowing less than 4 yards per play. Nobody else in the league, I think, is averaging less than 4.5. They're averaging less than 4 yards allowed per play. It's a super tough matchup. Matt Rhule has no clue what he's doing on offense. Carolina's last in the league in scoring right now. And they can't get DJ Moore the football. So I think I have to sit DJ Moore because of the tough matchup and because he is a quarterback that has no idea where he is. My third sit of the week, Aaron Rodgers. I'm sitting Aaron Rodgers. You know what?
Wow.
It's time. You've given him 3 weeks. What has he done? He's the 20th best fantasy quarterback through four games, he's had. They're just not throwing the ball all that much. They have not attempted more than 35 attempts in a game. In fact, like one guy that I've been streaming a lot early on, Sal, has been Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz has been very fluky, as you might expect, or up and down, I should say. He had over 25 fantasy points in 2 of his games. He's at under 10 fantasy points in the other 2 of his games. But what's one thing you get with Carson Wentz and why even he might be a better option than an Aaron Rodgers? Carson Wentz has attempted over 40 passes in every single game. Aaron Rodgers hasn't attempted more than 35. And that is reflective in the betting number. 230 is his over-under for this week. 230. That's nothing. And on top of all of that, he has receivers that don't get open. The average target separation when Rodgers throws the ball is 30th in the National Football League. It is always into contested coverage. And the receivers are not that good at contested catches because it's rookies. It's Romeo Dubs, it's Christian Watson, or it's guys that are completely washed up like Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb. That receiving core is not good. It's reflective in the air yards number 2. He's 28th in the league in air yards. That's the same as the depth of target. It's all to the running backs. There's not a lot of attempts to begin with. I'm sitting Aaron Rodgers until I see that offense really start to change. So those are my 3 sits.
Okay.
My top 3 starts of the week. Get Chris Godwin in your lineup. It's time.
Ooh.
It is time. Go all in. I am all in on Chris Godwin in your lineup, even though it's only 1 week back, right? He's played the first game, but he got hurt again, hamstring injury, coming back from the torn ACL. Last week, I needed to see him make it through the game. He was starting, but I have him in a couple leagues. I didn't play him anywhere. But what did you get? He ran 45 routes. He had 10 targets, 7 receptions, 59 yards. He made it through the game, and he looked pretty good doing it. But here's the thing with Godwin, why I need him in my lineup. 80% of his snaps came from the slot. And Tom Brady is going to the slot this year early and often. And here's why. Tom Brady has to get the ball out quick. He can't stand back there and take hits. One, because his line can't protect him. And two, he's getting beat up. He didn't practice yesterday, not because of his scheduled Wednesday rest days. He's got a right throwing shoulder injury, and he's got a finger injury. He took some massive shots in their last game against Kansas City. Brady is getting hit, which means he's getting the ball out faster than ever. He was already getting the ball out as fast as anybody. Now he's getting the ball out even faster. And what does that mean for their receivers? It means the slot receiver is going to be their number one guy. Last week, I just mentioned Godwin had 10 targets. Week 3, Russell Gage, playing primarily out of the slot, had 12 receptions for 87 yards and a touchdown. Week 2, even though they didn't move the ball a lot, who led their team in targets? Scotty Miller. Because Scotty Miller was the one playing the slot that day. He had 8. Brady's going to throw to the slot. Whoever is that slot receiver, I'm starting. And right now, that is Chris Godwin.
It's a good info.
My second start of the week. It's actually a combo. I'm starting both Patriot running backs this week. I'm starting both Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. And that can be tricky because you're limiting your upside, right? If there's two guys involved. But both guys are super involved. Look at their last 3 games. There are enough touches to go around for both guys. Week 4, Harris, 19 touches. Stevenson, 18 touches. Week 3, Harris, 13 touches. Stevenson, 16. Week 2, Harris, 17. Stevenson, 10. You get the trend here. Double-digit touches are coming for both guys every single week. And what's one thing I always say about fantasy for running backs? You either need to get touchdowns or you need to get receptions. And right now, that's being evenly split. Harris has a touchdown in each of his last 3 games, and Stevenson is averaging 3 receptions per game. So that's 3 additional points you're getting per game just with him through the air. No Mac Jones.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let me ask a question. Okay, so in one league I'm in, I'm looking right now. They're both free agents. I could literally pick them up right now and start them both this week. Would you recommend that?
I'm not,
obviously, depends on who else I have, but are you saying, like, I have, because I Patterson went on IR. Let's walk through this for a second.
Okay.
I have Cordarrelle Patterson, but he's not playing this week. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Leonard Fournette, and James Conner. Would you recommend I pick up both of these guys?
That's a pretty good running back crew. I'm definitely starting Fournette.
Edwards-Helaire is literally the 3rd best running back in fantasy right now. Did you know that?
I did not know that, actually.
He is the 3rd best running back in fantasy football. He's averaging 18.25 points a game.
If I were you, I might pick up Harris. I don't think I'd do both. If doing both does, on the same team, it limits your upside a little bit. Here, I'm recommending you start him, assuming you have both these guys, or the different people would have these guys. Same team might be... No, same team, I would still do it, but... You are limiting your upside at least a little bit by doing that. The matchup, though, is great. Like, the last point to make about these two, Sal, is that the matchup. The Patriots are number one in rushing DVOA so far this season. Detroit is dead last in DVOA. The amazing stat this week on the Lions, they're the first team in NFL history to score 140 points through their first 4 games. They're also the first team in NFL history to allow 140 points in their first 4 games. How amazing is that? They are getting run on. And because of the matchup and because New England has a dedication to get both running backs involved and because they're probably going to be back at a backup quarterback this week, I would recommend starting both Patriot running backs unless you got a team like Sal where you got 3 pretty solid running backs already. My 3rd start of the week, Bobby Trees. Robert Woods, for those that don't know his nickname. Bobby Trees. He is... definitively the Titans' number one receiver. And that's not amazing. You'd rather be the number one receiver on the Bills or the Chiefs or like probably a dozen or 2 dozen other teams. But He's the only show in town. Treylon Burks now out multiple weeks with turf toe. Kyle Phillips, we talked about going into the week two game with the Bills and the Titans. I like him a lot. He hasn't played. He's also injured. Washington this week for Tennessee. They've allowed the third most fantasy points to wide receivers. And they've allowed the most receiving touchdowns to wide receivers. They've allowed 7 receiving touchdowns already to opposing wide receivers. And again, it's Robert Woods. And then guys you've never heard of. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is going to be the next guy probably starting for them in this game. It's Robert Woods. It really is. They're going to run the ball against Washington. I'm sure they're going to try to. But the other thing about Washington is they can throw. They make mistakes because that's Carson Wentz. But they can move the ball a little bit. They got good receivers. Dotson, Samuels having a great bounce back campaign. And McLaurin, we know how good he is. So I'm not sure Tennessee can just run Derrick Henry 40 times in this game like they might want. I think they probably have to go at least back and forth a little bit. And I think Woods is going to get all of the targets going his way. So I don't think you're going to have, 30 points from him. I could see a stat line, though, where he has like 9 receptions for 70 yards. And you're going to be happy with that. So I'm going Robert Woods as my third start. So Woods, a Patriots duo of Stevenson and Harris, and Godwin is my starts. Gordon, Moore, and Aaron Rodgers are my sits of the week.
Okay, I like it. Interesting names on this list. You went big. I love the boldness of saying sit Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Wow.
He's getting you beat if you've been starting him.
I have Brady, and I've been thinking about kind of just moving in another direction. I think after what you said about Godwin, I should not do that and keep Brady, even though he had a great game last week because they had to play catch up pretty much the whole game.
Yep.
But I think I'm pretty good with Brady this week too against Detroit, obviously.
Yeah.
No, wait, I'm sorry. New England's
Atlanta,
against Detroit.
Against Atlanta.
I think I might be okay with him against Atlanta this week.
Yes, that is still a good matchup. And he, with his receivers healthy last week, it looked better.
Right.
And to put in perspective, like, sit Rodgers. If you're in a league where you could stream quarterbacks, I would say sit Rodgers. Like, 2 quarterback leagues, you're never doing it. But I would start Trevor Lawrence above him against Houston. I would start Goff above him against New England. Detroit moves the ball at will. Who else? I would start Geno Smith as a really tough matchup, or else I would think about that because he's been incredible. Geno Smith is the top 5 fantasy quarterback this year, but he is New Orleans. I mentioned Wentz. I would start Wentz over him too. This might be the last guy. I'd have to think about it. Sal, tell me if you think I've gone too far here. Would I start Teddy Bridgewater against the Jets over Aaron Rodgers? He certainly got better receivers.
I thought about this myself, picking him up and just starting him as a streamer this week.
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do against the Jets this week? Aren't they going to be trying to do what they typically do, which is get the ball in the hands of your elite wide receivers?
Well, I thought about that, but then I thought maybe this might be one of those weeks where maybe McDaniel says, look, I'm just going to hand the ball off to Edmonds and Mostert and say, like, let's go because this is why I got him.
Yeah.
And I don't have to worry about that. Kind of played a little bit more close to the vest, already having Tua out. And the Jets are not very good. I think their pass defense is better than their run defense. So, by the way, the Jets defense is actually pretty middle of the pack overall, which is surprising.
Yeah.
But I did think about it, but I thought maybe they might hand it off a little bit this week.
Yeah, I could see that. That's a good point. Because so far they've been one of the pass happiest teams in the league, but what was right. McDaniel in San Francisco with Garoppolo? They ran the ball a ton, and it was play action, and it was screen passes. So maybe they operate more like that with Bridgewater. The Jets, by the way, DVOA, they're middle of the pack. They're middle of the pack defense so far this year. So it might look like an amazing matchup, but it's only okay, I guess.
We'll do Three Dog Thursday when we come back after this timeout on the Extra Point Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.